Let's take our Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to be looking at the girdle or the belt of truth this morning. What ultimately brought down the Soviet Union was not the explosive power of nuclear warheads, nor was it the superb diplomacy of our governmental leaders, but rather the unending power of the truth. Think about that. The unending power of the truth. You know, truth doesn't die. Lies, deceit, die. But truth lives. And we see the effect that this truth had upon the empire known as the Soviet Union. Alexander Solzhenitsyn, in his Nobel speech, wrote these words: "One word of truth outweighs the entire world." Which led him and others to counter the might of the Soviet tyranny with the moral reality that truth does outweigh the state's propaganda, lies, and deception. And guess what? One night, they won. The mighty Soviet Union came to a crumbled end. Now, like the former Soviet Union, Satan, the father of lies, relies on deception and lies to deceive, to divide, and ultimately to destroy. And we see his false ways disseminated everywhere in this world. We see it through the media. We see it through governmental spokesmen, politicians. We see it even from the pulpits across our land, which tells us only by knowing and studying or standing for the truth can we detect the devil's lies and stand against his evil intentions. And Paul, comprehending this reality, this truth, begins his discussion of the armor of God with the belt of truth. It's no accident that he begins with the belt of truth. Why? Because it's foundational. If you are going to build your life, you must build it on truth. And that's why he begins with the belt of truth. And this initial piece of armor will be obviously our focus this morning. But before we get into our outline, let me just pass this information on. And you probably understand and know this already, but to put on the armor of God is to put on the Lord Jesus. For everything the armor represents, Christ is. He is truth. He is righteousness. He is peace. He is faithfulness. He is salvation. He is the living Word of God. And so no wonder Paul said in Romans 13:14, "But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." And so as we're putting on the armor of God, as this morning we'll endeavor to put on the belt of truth, in essence we're clothing ourselves with Jesus Christ. And what a beautiful thing that is. Now our outline this morning has 3 points. Point number one is the clothing or truth's clothing. Point number two is truth's content. And point number three is truth's character. So we're going to look at the clothing, the content, and the character of truth. Well, let's pray, and then we'll begin. Father, I pray that we'll realize how important it is that we clothe ourselves with the belt of truth, that the Word of God, as we just sang, may dwell richly in my heart from hour to hour, so that all may see I triumph only through God's love and power. Might we realize how important it is, how necessary it is to be daily in the Word, to allow the Word of God, the truth of God, to control our minds and hearts. Through Christ Jesus, and in His name we pray, amen. Point number one, truth's clothing. The Roman soldier always wore what was called a tunic, an outer garment that served as his primary clothing. It was usually made of a large square piece of material with holes cut out for the head and for the arms. And ordinarily, it was draped over most of the soldier's body. Now, obviously, since the greatest part of ancient warfare was hand-to-hand combat, you and I can see that a loose tunic was a potential hazard. It was a hindrance, and can I say even a danger? And so before a battle began, the soldier carefully cinched up, tucked his tunic into his heavy leather belt. In other words, he girded up his loins, which again was a mark of preparedness. To advance, to attack in battle, the belt or girdle had to tie up the soldier's outer wear. Now, attached to the leather belt, as you probably remember in the picture that we saw, was an apron that hung down in front of the Roman soldier's groin and lower abdomen. And small brass plates, maybe you remember those small brass plates, were attached to the apron to help provide the greatest possible protection of some of the most vulnerable parts of the soldier's body. And this belt also held in place the soldier's sword and his quiver of arrows, so we can see again how vitally important was a soldier's leather belt. If he did not have on his belt, he could not fight. He could not engage in combat. Now, in application, Peter tells us that as a Christian soldier, we are to gird up the loins of our mind. We find that in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13, which means we are to bring order to our thinking. Think about that. We are to bring order to our thinking, which is God's order, which is God's way of looking at life. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to understand how, if you want to have an orderly mind, it has to be controlled by truth. And that truth is obviously found in how God looks at life. And so, Hebrews 12:1 commands us to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, so easily entangles us. It brings disorder rather than order to our thinking, which certainly is a picture, again, of girding up one's loins, which raises the question, and I know we've already answered it, but which raises the question, what do we gird up our loins with? What do we gird up our mind with? And obviously, it's the what? Truth. Truth. Which brings us to point number two, the content of truth. Like the belt that held everything in place as a soldier battled, so the truth performs this crucial function. As we engage in spiritual warfare, we need our loins girded up. As one author writes, truth holds the spiritual armor in place and safeguards against deadly entanglements. Now, what is this truth? Well, the Greek word for truth is aletheia, which refers to the content of that which is true. And certainly truth's content is God's truth found in His Word. And this biblical truth is described in verses like John 8:32, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you or set you free." John 17:17, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth." Ephesians 4:21, which speaks of the truth that is in Jesus. And so what we are saying is there is objective truth. And that truth is found in the Lord Jesus and in His Word, which encompasses truth about God. If you want to know about the truth about God, you find it in this book. It describes the truth about ourselves. If you want to know what you are, how you how you tick, how you think. If you want to know what your heart is like, the truth of that is found in this book. The truth about history, the truth about the future. Eschatology is the theological term for that which describes future events. And without cinching ourselves up tightly with the truth of Scripture, the other weapons of our warfare will clatter in disarray. Remember, truth is foundational. And we must build our lives, we must build our armor beginning with truth. And as history tells us, all those who have stood firm as great warriors for Christ have been men and women of His Word. Can I say that again? As history tells us, all those who have stood firm as great warriors for Christ have been men and women of the Word. Martin Luther, the father of the Reformation, is certainly an example. It is not incidental that he had memorized most of the Bible, in his case, in Latin. Later in the 17th century, the supreme soldier was John Wesley, whom God used to change the course of English society and alter history. Significantly, Wesley had memorized most of the Greek New Testament, which all tells us effective soldiers of the cross, Christian warriors, are bound with God's truth. The Bible is the gold standard of truth. If you want to know what truth is, you have to look in God's Word. God's Word is foundational for truth in this whole world. God's people who know truth know what is truth because of the Bible. And so those who comprehend what is truth are students of, and I know I'm being redundant, but are students of the Bible. Can I be real candid with you? If you are not a regular Bible opener, if you don't take time to read and study, memorize, and I emphasize memorize, meditate upon God's Word, if church is a place where you infrequently darken the doors, you don't know what truth is. You have little clue what truth is. And you're just being deceived by the world, and the flesh, and the devil. And I'll tell you, your life will be one big disarray after another. You won't make sense. You won't be able to make sense of life because you're not founded. Your life is not being founded on the truth of God's Word. You say, well, I just don't like to come to church a whole lot. You know, as I hear so often, it's just filled with a bunch of hypocrites. I'm one. I haven't arrived. Now I'm working at it by God's grace. I'm in the Word. But I tell you, we're all a bunch of hypocrites. But we can be a bunch of hypocrites moving in the right direction, building our lives on the truth of God's Word. You know, to me it's so ironic. People don't say, well, I don't want to come to church because it's filled with a bunch of hypocrites, but they'll go to a ball game. Aren't there hypocrites at a baseball game or a football game? Or, well, I'll go out to eat. What about the guy or the couple next to you? They're probably hypocrites too, aren't they? So what's the point? You better come up with a better argument, amen? So I'm just saying, you say, well, it's an effort to open God's Word. It takes discipline to have a daily time in the Word. Yes, it does. But I'll tell you, your life will be so much better because it will be built on truth. And you don't find truth turning on the television. You find the truth turning yourself on to the Word of God. God's book of truth, it becomes our rule book of faith and practice. You know, it tells you how to be a good husband. It tells you how to be a good wife. It tells you how to rear your children. It tells you what to do with your money. I mean, it just covers every base. You know what? I want your life to be blessed. I really do. And it's blessed when our life is built on the truth of God's Word. Can I be real candid again? You aren't smart enough to figure it out on your own. You say, well, I'm pretty smart. You know what? God calls you a fool. You're a fool if you turn away from the truth of God's Word and say, well, I can figure life out by myself. There have been a lot of people before you that have gone down that road and over the cliff. So anyway, but people who have the content of truth, they love God's law. They love to hear God's law. You know, one of the blessings of being of preaching here at Westside is I feel like you're listening. I really do. Lord bless you for that. They love God's law. It is their daily meditation. They see truth not from the perspective of relativism, which means truth is defined by each individual as he sees it, or by postmodernism, which declares that absolute truth doesn't exist. You know, if I would be a miserable person if I held on to absolute truth doesn't exist. I might decide to walk out in front of a car. I might decide to take a short or long walk on a short pier. I mean, it's called gravity. It's called the impact of a vehicle much more powerful than you. And I might be trite when I say this, but ladies and gentlemen, there are absolutes in this world. And you find those absolutes in the Word of God. But those who love God's law, they look at life from the divine perspective that truth exists independently and is waiting to be discovered in the Word of God that points us to Christ, who said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. It's amazing. He's the way. He's truth, which leads to what? Life. And so truth is objective. It is eternal. And it is something that you and I need to know. Okay? We need to know truth. In his book, Spirit Warrior, Stu Weber writes this, and I quote, "The Christian soldier must possess a strong, unshakable conviction in the reliability of Scripture and in its living power to impact the battlefield. You must not allow yourselves to drift in your thinking, especially in this postmodern world that sees truth as individually centered and fluid and culturally constructed. You must also demonstrate a facility with Scripture, becoming conversant with its pages and principles on a level that is wholly involved in the dailiness of life." What did I just read? That the Word of God is practical in your daily walk. Every good spirit warrior constantly asks himself this question: what does the Bible say about this, about that, about anything? That's good advice, amen. Now, having this objective truth, those victorious in spiritual warfare go a step further, which simply means they live out the truth. It's not just in their head, it's in their feet. It's in their hands. Which simply means they live out, in other words, they live out the truth on a daily basis. As one author writes, a believer's life is bound tightly for battle with an honest truth trafficking lifestyle. Doesn't that say it beautifully? A truth trafficking lifestyle. Which makes Paul's point that a truthful character, along with a knowledge of the truth, hold the Christian together in battle. Which brings us to our third point this morning, the character of truth. We've noticed the clothing of truth, the content of truth, the Word of God. Now the character of truth, or can we say the attitude of truthfulness, which declares that the sincere believer forsakes hypocrisy and sham and becomes a person of integrity. He becomes a truthful person. He is committed to the truth. He sees that the law of the Lord is perfect. It converts the soul. The testimonies of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eye. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. And so he adopts truth, a truth-based lifestyle, which means he doesn't let the world squeeze his mind into its mold of thinking. Its fleshly ways of everyday life, so that he may please him who hath called him to be a soldier. He doesn't let the thinking, the philosophy of the world control how he thinks. The Word of God controls how he thinks. And how you think is who you become. If you feast on TV and the soaps and General Hospital and whatever else is on, that's how you're going to think. And that's what you're going to become. But if you feast on the Word of God, that the Word of God begins to characterize how you think. And how you think is what you become. Again, there is a commitment to the truth in both what we say and in what we do. We speak the truth. We don't lie. We live out the truth. You know what? We don't even tell little white lies. Now, I don't know where that came from. What's a little white lie? I mean, isn't a lie a lie? What's a little lie versus a big lie? In God's book, they're all what? Lies. We walk in the truth. Again, there is a true sincerity. We are without wax. I'm sure you've heard that in Bible times when a piece of pottery had a crack, an unscrupulous merchant would fill the crack with wax and then he would paint over it like the crack wasn't there. However, honest merchants would advertise their pottery as being sincere, meaning without wax, which meant that it had no deficiencies, no cracks, no flaws. And in our battle against the wiles of the devil, we must be the same way. We must be true blue. For when we know and practice the truth, it does set us free. You know what? You don't have to have as good a memory. Now, what did I tell that person? I think I told him. You just speak the truth. You speak it in love, but you speak the truth. We have a clear conscience. And a clear conscience is a spiritually powerful thing. It's not easily deceived. It is awfully hard to deceive someone full of truth. Now, sadly, we live in a society where truth has lost its truthfulness. In other words, words have lost their true meaning. And by the way, we've let it happen. Listen to what Charles Colson has written about today's American society. The inability, and I quote, "The inability to make moral distinctions is the aids of intellectualism. In a culture infected with moral aids, words lose meaning, or they are manipulated to obscure meaning. Thus, taxes become revenue assessment enhancements. Perversion is gay. Murder of unborn children is the freedom of choice. Marxism in the church is called liberation theology. These are all good words." And everyone just nods unquestionably. But when words lose their meaning, it is nearly impossible for the Word of God to be received. If sin and repentance mean nothing, then God's grace is irrelevant. Our preaching falls on deaf ears. This moral deafness leads to disaster. The Scriptures tell us when people accepted King Ahab's gross evils as trivial, that fearsome judgment befell ancient Israel. I think we're there, don't you? We look at sin today as trivial. We look at lying as trivial. Everyone's doing it. By the way, I'm not doing it. I'm trying to speak the truth, even when it puts me in maybe a little bit of an uncomfortable situation. I speak the truth. You know, it would be so much easier for me to just be really nice all the time to you all. But that doesn't help me, and it doesn't help you. You say, well, I like a preacher that just is full of grace. We're supposed to be full of grace and truth. You say, well, I like that feel-good, fuzzy feeling. You know what? That lasts about that long. It's called a clear conscience before God and man. R. Kent Hughes adds these words. This is where we are right now as a culture. We hear almost daily of a new case of perjury by the prestigious. Many of our nation's icons have fallen due to their lies, but despite this, they are placed back in the pantheon by their followers. We now have one truth for the elite and a separate truth for the people. Doctrinaire news reporting masquerades as objectivity. The advertising industry has institutionalized deceit. We live in a foggy netherland of deception. Quote unquote. And the tragic result is that so many who claim to be Christians, who claim to be light in the Lord, themselves traffic in untruth. Believers just flat out lie. Their character is a lie. They say one thing and they do another. Habitually, they fail to keep their word. Ladies and gentlemen, when you tell someone you're going to call them right back, call them right back. You know, you get these answering machines, these cell phones, "I'll call you back as soon as I can." You know what? You never hear from these people. You know what? You just lied. Didn't you? I don't put that on mine. Because I don't know when I'm going to call you back. Maybe I can't call you back right away. You say, well, that's trivial. If you lie there, you're going to lie someplace else. Aren't you? And you get used to it. When confronted, they do not answer questions truthfully. And the saddest part of all of this is they remain unrepentant and think it's no big deal to lie their way out of difficult or sticky situations. Now, can I say once a person accepts lying as a normal part of his lifestyle, he becomes a purveyor of moral aids, which is dominated by the one who is called the father of lies. But what must a Christian do? If you look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22, we find these words, that you put off, Ephesians 4:22, that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man which is corrupt, according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. We put away lying. Further, we confess the sin of lying. We pray, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. In other words, we are honest. You say, Pastor, I don't want to think of myself as someone who lies. Well, are you lying? Stop lying to yourself. It's a big deal. It really is. What if your eye lied to your foot, and you're driving down the road, and you see this stop sign, and the eye says, no, it's a go sign. And so your foot just keeps on puts the pedal to the metal. What would happen? You wouldn't last very long. So our members can't lie one to another. Do you see the point? So we put away lying, we confess this sin, we commit ourselves anew to speaking the truth. We cleanse ourselves, or cleanse our minds with a washing of water by the Word. We're in the Word. We listen and we give heed to the Word of God. And truth arms us with a clear conscience. We then come out of this with a clear conscience. And do you know what a clear conscience is? It's a spirit-controlled conscience. And what does the Spirit of God do? It tells you what to say. As Jacob so beautifully said, Spirit of God, descend on me. Tells you it tells you what to say, it controls what you think, controls what you look at. You know, I mean, it just controls your whole being. But the Spirit of God cannot work through a conscience that's been defiled, that grieves and quenches the Spirit of God. But when we have this clear conscience, it makes possible that we can unflinchingly face the enemy. 1 Timothy 1:19 states, so fight gallantly, armed with faith and a good conscience. And so I ask you, how's your spiritual battle going? If you're having trouble, it may be that you need to tighten your belt to regird yourself with truth. And to do so requires that you fill yourselves, as we have said over and over again this morning, with the truth of God's Word, and then consciously submit to it, obey it, which enables you, and I love this, which enables you to be instinctively truthful. Instinctively truthful. And you will then find yourself a person of integrity. And what a powerful individual that is. 2 weeks ago, our baseball chapel handouts theme was being a man of integrity. Let me just share the basics here. Here's what our handout looks like. You have English on one side, you have Espanol on the other side. For those of you that do not know tongues, that's Spanish. Have to be light every once in a while, right? Benefits of a life of integrity. Integrity brings clear guidance. Proverbs 11:3, the integrity of the right of the upright shall guide them. Secondly, integrity brings a sure footing. He that walketh uprightly or walketh in integrity walketh surely. Proverbs 10:9. Integrity passes down a lasting inheritance. The Lord knoweth the days of the upright, and their inheritance shall be forever. Psalm 37:18. Integrity gives a blessing to our children. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. Proverbs 20, verse 7. I am so thankful I had a dad who had integrity. I never remember my dad lying. I never remember him being deceptive, deceitful. I never remember him cheating people. I never remember him saying one thing to this person, another thing to that person. He was not a hypocrite. He was not a sham. You know what? I really believe I'm being blessed today because of his life. The just man walketh in his integrity, his children are blessed after him. And then integrity passes the test of what pleases God. I know, my God, that thou triest the heart and hast pleasure in uprightness or in integrity. Don't we want God to take pleasure in us and how we live? And that's 1 Chronicles 29, verse 17. And so we end on this note. The primary weapon we have against the enemy is truth, the truth of God. The truth found in his word, by which our mind is renewed and strengthened against the attacks of the enemy. Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world and all of its lies and deception, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How are our minds renewed? By the word of God, that ye may prove what is that, say it with me, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You want to live your lives, ladies and gentlemen, controlled by the will of God. Truth, as Alexander Solzhenitsyn determined, is a mighty powerful piece of armor. It brings empires to their knees. The clothing of truth, the content of truth, the character of truth. Have the character of truth. And God's people said, amen. Amen. Father, we thank you for the blessing of your word. Oh, Lord, how blessed we are. Might we be able to say, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed, say, Pastor, the Lord spoke to me this morning. I want to gird my mind with the truth of God's word. Would you raise your hand? Thank you. I see many hands. I want to gird my mind with the truth of God's word. Perhaps you're here and you know not our precious Savior, the one who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I'm not sure if I died right now, I would, where I would go. I'm not sure if where I would spend eternity. Would you pray for me? Is there anyone? Father, I pray as we stand and sing this closing hymn, Lord, that we'll be soldiers of the cross, followers of the Lamb. Lord, that we'll put the armor on, the belt of truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and sing. If you need your hymn book 592, Soldiers of Christ Arise and Put Your Armor On, we invite you to come as we stand and sing. Soldiers of Christ, arise
and put your armor on. Stand in the strength which dwells in Christ, His eternal song.
Help us.